from the East Coast, gateway to the fifth dimension. This is Interstellar Radio with Ivan Tucker.
Okay. Well, greetings. This is, hopefully you can hear me. This is Ivan. This is Interstellar Radio. I guess our intro got kind of had a beating there, from what it seems. I'm assuming we're on live, from what I can tell. Tonight we Blog Talks is all over the place right now. Okay, I believe we were live a second ago. I believe we're still live. Greetings, everyone. All right, tonight we have a mystery guest on the line. But before we go into that, we have a caller that comes in. That's here. So, yeah, it's Interstellar Radio from the Fifth Dimension. I'm Ivan Teller. You can go to IvanTeller.com to know more about me, explore, do extraterrestrial spirits, angels. For this segment, the intro of Blog Talk is being, because it's a holiday, so happy 4th of July. Blog Talk's been running kind of rough today. I tried to upload the intro and didn't play out too well. That's okay. All right, we're going to go into first caller here. So, hopefully everything went. Okay, caller, hello, greetings. If you're there, hello. Anybody's there? Nobody's there. Okay, sounds good. All right, so we're going to go to a mystery guest. Hopefully everything is operating correctly, so here we go. Hello, greetings. From, this might be me.
Greetings.
Not able to hear. Oh, good, greetings. Hello. Hello there.
Hello, Ivan. How are you?
Oh, hello, Mr. Guest. How are you? I'm doing well. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to you. I'm happy to be here with you to celebrate this wonderful day.
Yes. Well, we have another caller that called in. Here, hold on for a second. We'll go into the next caller, then we'll go into further into our mystery guest. So hold on for one second.
Right.
All right, we'll be back. Well, greetings.
Hi, sir. I'm sorry. My name is Melissa, and I just took to talk to Miss.
What was that again?
I like to speak to the lady. My name is Melissa.
The lady? Who? Which lady?
Psychic lady.
So which psychic lady? We don't have a psychic lady here.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, the show, what your show topic is.
Oh, okay. What is it that, what's your question?
I want to ask if, where I live, is there going to be like a, the situation is around me with people arguing, is that going to be over pretty soon? No, I'm not part of it.
You mean like friends and who is a family? Who is this? Everybody?
I want to know, there's some tenants, some people who are renting, and law enforcement is always coming, and they were there yesterday with so many lights. And there was no shooting, but I just want to know if they see that coming to an end already. Like, that's what I want to know.
Only when they get kicked out, yes. I mean, they'll probably cool down for a while. They might happen again. I mean, you say this happens a lot, or is this like real extreme this time?
I know the owner tried to evict them, but they don't listen. They repel. They repel.
They
go and pay him more money, and they deny what they're doing. And then law enforcement, they've been getting tickets. And I know the owner told them again to move out. So they want to know if they are going to move out because other people question.
No, They're not going to move out until they get kicked out. So they have to figure out some way to kick them out. So no. So it's up to the landlord. So and the police. So I think it's going to be calm for a while though.
Wait, do you see
Not anytime soon. I mean, it'll calm down and it'll probably spark back up again until they get kicked out. So sorry. All right, okay. I got to get going. Sorry. All right, thank you. Thank you for calling in. All right. Blessings. All right. All right, Greeks. Okay, we're back. Hello, Mr. Guest. Still there? Sorry about that. Still there? No. Well, when you come back, I'll be still here. All right. For tonight's show, thank you, caller, for calling in. And tonight's show is mystery guest, and that's a type and find out. One moment, contacting. For tonight's show, basically the idea is going to QAnon, hopefully. That was the agenda for tonight. At the moment, we're on a slight pause. So happy 4th of July, everyone. As for alien connections, everything's kind of paused. You know, I've been kind of over, you know, doing it for a while. I was going to give myself a break on all of it. Kind of George Carlin last night. And I guess I have to wait one moment. All right, well, we're waiting for the mystery guest to arrive back. I'm messaging the mystery guest. So, the agenda, it's supposed to be QAnon, if I pronounce that correctly. As basically, you know, what I can go by what I'm picking up on. Oh, I feel like there's like several of them at this time. Of course, it's like a group. I think that's pretty obvious. I don't follow it that closely. But it is. It does seem like it's getting stronger from what I see and what's going on. Well, I guess we're going to politics at the moment. As for Trump and his connections with the deep state, I believe he's making better relations with the deep state. Hopefully, from what it feels like they are at this, what he is at this time. I would say there's going to be some big news coming up in the next week, from what I'm gathering, at least from politics, possibly at least. I'm not 100% on that, but it seems like there's big news. They're not going into detail of what. Of course, I did see an alien connection then, but I believe a lot of it's cooled down, kind of calm at this moment, but not forever. So as you go and transition into the fourth dimension reality, there's going to be a lot of transitions. Of course, I listened to Alex Jones about the Space Force. I was kind of fascinating with that. Let's try the... Oh, hello there. Are you still there?
I am.
Mr. Whoa. All right. There you are. Wasn't sure where you were. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Whoa. All right. What do you have for us today?
Hello, Ivan. Thank you for having us, having me.
Yeah.
Well, Ivan, I guess we're going to talk about QAnon. Just a little brief. I'm pretty sure that people who are listening, there should be a good amount of people who are familiar with QAnon, but those who aren't, basically what QAnon is, somebody who's supposedly close to the president, and from what I get, it's a collective. It's probably a bunch of analysts probably working under a secret access program. And what they're doing is they're giving out hints and clues to everybody about what's going on behind the scenes that the media is not letting anybody, not really telling anybody. And these clues are to tell everybody or just guide people in the direction to do their own research so that they can find out, you know, what's the story that's going on behind the scenes. So it's really interesting. And once you delve into it, it just seems like, well, if you're somebody who's been studying conspiracies, it's like confirming all of your conspiracies that, like, all the things you're looking into, it's true. Like, there is the Illuminati. There is a lot of corruption in the government. There is a lot of manipulation, and there is a definite fight between light and dark. It's in every aspect of our lives, and it includes the least likely hero, which is, I guess what they're looking at is our president. But a lot of us would never know that he would be because of how he's presented to us.
Yeah, around the president's not always the easiest one to connect with as for what's going on. There is a psychic group around him that's kind of blocking people to read him, which is fine. But for secrets, you know, as a psychic, remote viewers of the government, psychic. I mean, I've felt in the past remote viewers from the government around me. I could feel their energies. That was interesting. So, you know, there's a whole another metaphysics to it all that, of course, they're not going to make it public anytime soon. So is there any topics you want to go into or anything you want to dive into?
Oh, yeah. So just to continue on the topic of QAnon, basically, it has been a grassroots effort that started on the 8chans, 4chan, and 8chan. And then what it evolves into is people blogging about it, and then creating YouTube channels and doing a lot of in-depth analysis on their own based upon the constant updates of this group. And it's been going on since I want to say November of last year. And I think we're at a point where we're going to find out, or at least the media will acknowledge, or they're going to have to be forced at some point to acknowledge or ask about QAnon, or ask the president about QAnon, so that he can then say what it is and basically tell the story in mass so that everybody can be caught up to a degree. But that aside, I think it's going to be really interesting. But I do want to say, outside of QAnon, just in the realm of politics, I've realized that it's just been very divisive over the last couple of years. And especially within the last month, there's been people fighting each other. There's been a lot of protests. There's been a lot of misinformation by the media, and a lot of it has to do because there's a lot of corruption going on. And so the dark, what they're always going to do is they're going to distract you with other things, and so that you won't know the truth. And the truth is, right now there's a lot of investigations, there's a lot of things that are going to go public about people, previous administrations, people in high positions that were involved in also previous administrations that are also trying to infiltrate and negatively impact this current one, that's going to come out in a major way. And basically a lot of us who aren't paying attention, who aren't awake or not, like, I guess, fully aware of these things, are going to be very, very surprised once this stuff comes out. And it's not to say that, you know, one is more better than the other because they're aware of certain things. But I think it's important to just try to be a little bit more understanding of each other and respecting of each other wherever they're at, with regardless of whether you agree with each other on any political views. The reason why I say that is because, when we're divided, when we're constantly fighting each other, we're basically manipulated. And if we're looking at this as a dark versus light perspective and that struggle, then those who don't want positive things for us have won.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's that's a two parties, Democrat and Republicans, to split us apart, basically. So they don't need three parties, two is enough. So yeah, it's definitely, yeah, QAnon seems to be bringing a lot of people together. It is creating a lot of attention, that's for sure, to bring more of the truth out. Of course, that the mass arrest, I don't know, you keep track of QAnon, is this? Of course, I was looking at David. Is it David Fulford? Of course, I'm not.
Oh, Benjamin Fulford.
Benjamin Fulford. I don't know where I got David from. Yeah, because I was checking his website. He said that there are arrests going on. They're just quiet. So.
Oh yes, there are. There's only so much that the media will allow us to know. A lot of it's blocked for a reason, or what they'll do is they'll just cover other things and manipulate that information so that we can focus on that, but not focus on, you know, the thing that is really important. Not to say that, you know, the issues that aren't brought up, that are brought up, aren't important, but a lot of it is manufactured in order to distract us from the thing that they want to take us our attention from. So there are a lot of there's people who are on trial. There are mass arrests of people who are involved in human rights abuse, and there have been since the president signed his executive order to seize assets and have a zero tolerance towards people who are engaged in human rights and child trafficking, and there's been, I think, a couple thousands of arrests associated with that, and a lot of children that have been liberated in connection with that. And that's one of the things that the government, not the government, but that's a story that's not being told. And we're talking about, for example, the border situation. The media will have you, the left will have you manipulated by, for example, I don't want to get into the nitty gritty, but they're going to go after your heart and your mind by showing these children that are being treated poorly, but they're not going to tell you that a lot of these pictures that are coming out, they're not from the present administration, they're from the previous administration. They're not going to show you how bad the situation at the border is. And we're not just talking about migrant people that are coming here for a better life. A lot of the kids that were separated, for example, but were separated because they either came with an adult who couldn't prove that they were the parent, i.e. they could have been there because they could have been with the coyote that was trafficking them, or the parent that they were with has already been identified or charged with a previous crime in the U.S. And in those cases, they had to be separated. There's a lot of drugs that are coming through the border. I think a couple of weeks ago, they mentioned that there was enough fentanyl found in Michigan. They will seize in Michigan to kill about 25 million people. So, you know, that's not the, that's the story that's being told, and a lot of the, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, that are paid off within our government to encourage mass migration and destabilization, and they don't show you the big picture. Like, you know, yes, people want to come here to work, but then also there's an element where people are being exploited once they're here, and so those companies that will hire these people will pay them very low wages and exploit them, and the government doesn't do anything about it, because oftentimes those companies are paying off individuals in our government so that they can keep this going. So it's more than just what's on the surface, and there is a, well, I think it's a multi-trillion dollar enterprise in human trafficking alone. So that means there's a lot of children that are being put in harm's way as it is within the country, and that are being brought in for purposes that are nefarious. And that's the, that will go back to the spiritual part. There's a lot of, you know, and the fact that there's not a lot that's being said about these things, you know, they, once these human trafficking is brought up in the media, it's easily brushed aside. And then what you have is it also the cultural aspect too, because you have, every time they talk about immigrants, for example, to the U.S., they will appeal to Latin American people, because a lot of us are from neighboring countries. For example, Mexico is across the border, so, you know, the poster child of the immigrant is always somebody, 9 times out of 10, somebody who's from Latin descent. So immediately, because of all of that history, you have people who are of Hispanic descent who are triggered by this. And also, you know, if you're a human, you're going to feel bad regardless, but specifically Hispanic people are going to be triggered by this, because they're always the ones that are represented by the media in a negative light, whether it's to use them as the excuse for why, you know, our country's bad, or they're using them as a tool so that, or as a voting tool. But then once, you know, the primaries and the elections are done, I mean, they don't do anything for them. So there's a lot of things that are going on in that aspect. So, and I know these subjects that I'm talking about are very, they're very complex, and they can't be oversimplified. But this is just what I've noticed in myself growing up, because I'm also a Latin American person. So I know how the politicians play not only us, or they'll play all of us, Caucasian people, black people, and they'll pit us against each other and appeal to our groups, and they'll tell us how much better they can make it for us, but by demonizing the other. And this is, it's the same spin, the same tactics that get rehashed. But now I think, I personally am at a point where I've been noticing this game, and I like for other people to notice this as well, you know. And with the immigration aspect, for example, this is just one of the many examples of a way that they're like manipulating our hearts and minds without telling you what else is going on. And what else is going on right now, I think that they're discovering that there was a lot of money laundering, a lot of corruption, selling of our secret to terrorist groups, using selling classified information to terrorist groups, and then also allowing people who belong to these groups access to our classified information. One of the people who were involved in this is being detained, and he's been singing like a bird. So there's a lot of people who are coming down, and they're not talking about it. But the information is there if you look for it. You can look for it by getting using the clues from Q, or just researching for yourself, or just asking yourself what else is going on, you know, in the world. What else is going on that's not being told? Because usually when there's an uproar like this or an outrage like this, for example, there's also something else that is going on that's not being told.
Yeah, well, like the comes up the big tech companies, you know, they're seen as, you know, big and powerful, but there must be a lot of this must be connected to them somehow, you know, in some way.
Oh yeah.
So especially through labor, like in China. But I believe China is trying to improve it, but there's a lot of other forces there that are not making it easy. It could be American forces too. Well, the most likely keep the products cheap.
One hand washes the other. Let's use the Mexican government, for example. Like, I read that as far as trade, the U.S. was losing billions on trade each year with Mexico, and there are a lot of companies that are going to Mexico, and Mexico is doing well as far as their GDP goes, but there has been and continues to be a big wage disparity between there's always been a wage disparity there that encourages migration to the U.S. And in that way, not only can people take advantage of for example, Mexican people, but I forgot what my point was. not only can we take advantage of them, it's almost as if, and we're not talking about companies, it's just like it's intended to be that way. You know, we're displacing a group of people from their country they would otherwise live in because they cannot meet their needs, and then they go to another country, oftentimes illegally, also because the requirements to enter the U.S. In a lot of situations are not as easy as we're led to be. It's actually very difficult. Even if you have everything laid out, all the requirements of the U.S., it's a lot more difficult than we're told it is, you know. So then you have a lot of people that will unfortunately make the decision based upon the fact that they have, they don't have basically desperation, and they choose to come into the United States. So what you have is somebody could get caught, and they go to jail. So the prison system is making money, right? And then, or they'll go into work, and they will be paid lower wages. And as a result of them getting paid lower wages, unfortunately, other people who are in the United States who are citizens have to compete with lower wage earners, and then they make less money. So it's just like a perpetuated system that just constantly feeds something else, and it's very unfortunate. And I think the president, being who he is, he wants other countries to do well, so that they don't have to make those decisions. Because with the migration, for example, I'm saying that a lot, but I'm just using that as a point. When people are not doing well, when they're migrating from other countries to come here, unfortunately, it lends itself to it lends itself to crime. You know, if you're desperate,
yeah,
and you know, the means are not as great as they should, they could be, maybe you're going to make some fentanyl, or maybe you're going to drive some of that across the border, or maybe you're going to work at that marijuana plant. The marijuana is going to end up somewhere it shouldn't be, you know. So those are just many things that I've been looking at, and I'm just happy, like, we're at a time where a lot of this is researchable knowledge that you can just, if you want to spend your time researching not only this but anything you want, it's available at your fingertips, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. The system is creating criminals, basically. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, through the prison system, I guess the prisons receive federal funding. I mean, it's not all owned by the federal, right? I mean, some of them are federal prisons, but a lot of them are private, right? So.
A lot of them are private, and they're getting federal dollars. And then another thing I found out was that, like, the government. The congressmen, for example, they're the only people who can invest in these prison systems. So can you imagine that there's people who are making money off of investing in the demise of other people? And there's this incentive to keep people in jail forever for nonviolent crimes?
Yeah. No surprise there. It's a bunch of old white guys in Congress and in Senate. It's just, not all of them are bad, but there's a lot of them been paid off, most likely. At least those have been there for a long time. Eventually, that'll go through a healing. But yeah, the mainstream media. Yeah, there's a story. I don't know if you saw it. A lady or somebody climbed the Statue of Liberty or part of it at a protest.
Oh yeah, how did that end up?
I don't know. It's not saying, but probably not well. But yeah, she had a protest because families are being, you know, because they're being separated from their kids. You know, the parents are being separated from their kids. So they're just like, but then media is covering up far more than just, you know, I mean, they're using that, exploiting it. But I mean,
yeah,
look how much
they are
covering up. It's like,
exactly. There's so much that they're covering up that they're not acknowledging for a reason, and we're very outraged about kids being separated by their parents. But the president signed an executive order like almost immediately after this came to people's attention, saying that he would keep people and their children together while the process was going on. And another thing was that he wanted to also make these proceedings expeditious, you know, and also if they were like found guilty or whatever, they're just going to be sent back home instead of being, you know, in limbo or whatever in the U.S.
Yeah, they couldn't have been separated for that long. I mean, just through, you know, what, a couple hours of service, you know, paperwork, and maybe. Of course, I didn't research
it. I think that what I read was, let's say if it was a longer process, it would be for the children when they were separating them. They would be at these temporary shelters for a few days before they moved them on elsewhere to human health services. And I understand that those are nicer facilities, and while they're there, that's also temporary too, until they could find a family member that could pick that child up while, you know, they're waiting for the legal situation to be fixed with the parents. But another thing I want to say is that as far as this immigration situation, the way they've been handling it, I think it's improved recently, but as far as separating families, as far as people getting deported, all of this stuff has been going on for like ever.
Yeah.
It's been going on for a long time, and that's not an excuse, but, you know, the fact that they brought it to people's attention, I think it's great because there is a human aspect to it. These are humans that are coming in for various reasons, but it's also been happening for a long time. So the fact that they're just bringing it out now, it's a manipulation. It's a manipulation for people. And there's a lot of the same people who are outraged about it are the same people who just a couple of years ago were very tough on immigration. For example, President Obama, I think he deported like 2.5 million people. I think he deported more immigrants than any other American president. And he said that he was going to be tough on immigration, and so did the president before that, and so did the president before that. I think what we need to get to is a point where we're not creating situations like the previous not the previous administration, but the Secretary of State or other administrations where we are destabilizing by our part, assisting in the destabilization of other countries so that those people don't have to make the decision to come over here. Like we have, you know, the issue with Libya and a lot of people from Syria, you know, just through the different wars or conflicts that we've been involved in the Middle East, you know, that have been seeking refuge all over the world. There's a lot of people who are seeking refugee status who are, like, in Mexico from Yemen, Libya, these countries, Honduras, for example. I think in 2009, there was a U.S.-supported coup. Well, she won't say it was, you know, but it was supported by Secretary of State Clinton, a coup of the then Honduran president. And basically what their concern was that he was surveying the people to see if they wanted to have a multi-term president. And their excuse for the coup was that we don't want to have a situation like Cesar Chavez, right, where he's in forever. But, you know, if you have a single-term president and he's doing a good job and then you have to, like, switch with another person who's probably no better than a dictator, like, how is that good for you? Like, at least we have a two-term presidency, you know, so we could see decide to re-elect a person if we like him. He can work for us for another 4 years and hopefully create something positive for us and that could be handed off in a better fashion to another president. So what you have now or some time in Honduras is apparently like the second, a lot of people think it's Mexico, but Honduras won like the second highest second murder rate per capita just behind Iraq, which the country that was at war at the time that they announced it, and it's still the second highest murder rate per capita. There's been a lot of operations to arrest drug dealers, but unfortunately because of the situation in their country, those drug dealers actually employed a lot of people through legal businesses. And so when you take out, unfortunately, a kingpin and you take about $800 million of their assets, and those assets happen to be legitimate business and people work for them where they're otherwise not doing well, then you're creating migration. You're creating a situation where that's very dangerous for everybody because of, you know, all of the uncertainty and the crime, and then they have to flee their country, you know. So there's a lot of different aspects to this, and I am glad that it was brought up for sure so we can fix the the core of these issues, and that is that we need to stop messing with other countries where it's unwarranted and we're causing destabilization and mass migration, people to come here and in desperate situations and feed the exploitation system and feed the prison system as a result.
Yeah.
You know, while we still have, for example, we're talking about separated children. We have like 400,000 kids apparently who are in they're in foster care, and there's a lot of people who go to jail who have to leave their kids. You know, we have 2.7 million kids that are without their parents here in the United States. We have like 80 million homeless people who are apparently Caucasian as well. We have a welfare system that is, you know, spread thin because, you know, we have, you know, citizens who are poor, who aren't doing well, and we have, you know, other people who aren't doing well, people who are on disability, and we still have to take care of the people who are retired as well. And, you know, we're concerned also that there's not going to be any Social Security by the time we retire. So.
Yeah, it's, well, even with the recent news of the immigration, the separation of families and the families, you know, the president can only know so much, can only do so much. He probably didn't even know, most likely. Or if he did, you know, he has like 1,000 other things he's got to do. So that's used against them. But yeah, the media is, yeah, obviously it's ran by corporations that have interest. And so, of course, they're going to make stories that help their interests down the line. So, obviously, so they're going to black out quite a bit.
He can walk on water. He could feed everybody in the world. And it wouldn't matter. They wouldn't talk about any of that because it's not in their interest, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, even with a late night talk show, sir. The talk show host, most of it's Colbert and Kimmel, are just all out attack against the president. It's getting them ratings, too, so that tells you of the climate.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just, I don't know.
Apparently, apparently the Home and Garden Network have better ratings than CNN right now.
Well,
that's pretty
bad. Yeah, the CEO of CNN still has a job. I mean, it's like, how can you still have a job? You know, it's like you have low ratings and it's all propaganda. It's pretty much like the Obama channel, basically, the Democratic, news network, basically. I guess every once in a while they might.
They don't care. It's kind of like when you make this big movie that's a flop and they spend all this money in that movie. And it's not so much that they want. It's the story that they wanted to tell, you know? When they say, for example, that you have the people behind the scenes or the Illuminati that's supposedly paying these producers to supposedly make these movies that are horrible. And it's because they want to make money. It's because they have a story to tell you, whether it's for predictive programming, whether it's to iron out karma, or whatever the situation is, it's just to put it out there. And the CNN, for example, and a lot of the other news stations, they're not engaged in journalism and honest journalism for a reason. As far as letting the people know the truth, that doesn't matter. They don't care. They just want to keep spinning this information because they know a lot of people will just watch TV and they won't second guess the information. They'll be like, oh, well, I saw it on CNN, so it must be true. Oh, I saw it on MSNBC, so it must be true. And it's the same thing with all of these shows, these sitcoms, these late-night shows, these evening shows, where they make these jokes based upon, for example, the presidency or the political climate, but they'll spin it in a fashion that suits them, that keeps people in fear, that keeps people negative, And they keep pushing that because the ultimate goal is for us to be divided and to be mad at each other and to create conflict because they don't want us to have anything good. It's truly like a fight between light and evil because, I mean, right now I can't talk to, like, people. Like, I really love and respect, you know, not because I disrespect them. It's because I feel like it's not like before where you could just, you know, talk about whatever and you'll feel fine about it. It feels like a lot of the time you're walking on eggshells. Like, I posted a picture today on Instagram of the president with an eagle with a flag behind him, and he's dressed like George Washington, and then I got a negative comment about that. You know, why are you posting that picture? This 4th of July, it's a birthday, you know. It's the birthday of America. Why'd you put Trump? And then I'm like, it's a cool picture. And somebody else wrote, well, that's what people used to say about Hitler. I'm like, what? That it's a cool picture? It's just like, oh, my gosh, you know. And I think it's fine to be, like, It's fine to have, like, discourse and stuff like that, but it's just people are just so angry and upset and divided, and I think it's just the media, even the internet is so skewed. It's so biased. You know, when you do a search, for example, of Donald Trump, you just write Donald Trump, and you see, like, 7 pages of negative stuff. You know, and then you have to, like, search it in a certain way so you can get to, like, what you're looking for, because everything is negative. You'll put Donald Trump is awesome, and Snopes, the fact check thing, will say it's false. They debunked it.
Yeah, I mean, not to say both parties are perfect, but, like, with the Democrats, like with Obama, basically, the media was basically kissing his butt, basically. You know, he's the Messiah, he's Jesus, he's this, he's that. He's basically continuing the deep state agenda. Not to say Trump isn't perfect, but, you know, they're pretty much, it shows you that the divide. Yeah. So
and he is quoted recently as telling the DNC at a meeting that since they're unsuccessful at taking him out, that he was going to do it himself, you know?
Yeah.
But if you tell that to people, they're going to be like, no, you're just saying that because, you know, well, during his administration, the Republicans, I'm not even either on either side at all. I just kind of noticed, I've just been noticing things for a long time that aren't right. And it's just coming together. I'm not a Republican. I'm probably leaning more conservative now because I've grown up, whether I realized it or not, with a Democratic point of view, because that's what's pushed in the media. And then you're kind of conditioned to think, you know, unless you have, like, more Republican family members, or you live in Texas, or you live, like, in Miami, where a lot of Hispanics have to be conservative, you're kind of conditioned in a sense to lean towards the left, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just eventually at some point. Yeah, I voted for Barack Obama. I followed him for 2 years. You know, I believed in the hope and change and all that other stuff. And even when I didn't vote for him the second time around, I still was like, yeah, let's give him another chance, you know. And then I was just, like, looking at different things as time went along that weren't positive. They're not bringing to the forefront in the media. And I was just noticing a lot of things were biased. And then I started studying the occult and all of this stuff and just listening to a lot of things that, you know, you wouldn't readily know. And I'm just like, wow. Like, I understand, like, a little bit more of what's going on now. And at the point where I was going to this last election, I checked out. I was like, no, I'm going to be neutral. I stopped watching TV. I just wanted to be, like, you know, love and light and all of these things. But while I was in school, the Pizzagate thing came up. All of these little things started creeping up, you know. I happened to be in school for television and radio broadcasting, and I see a lot of the uncut footage from the campaign trail, which included, you know, the President Trump's footage as well. And I see how the media does a good job at manipulating things to tell their story. So they told you a story that the president was a racist xenophobe who hated women and immigrants, right? And they didn't show you all of the rallies he did where there was a lot of black people and said black people for Trump, Hispanics for Trump, Asians for Trump, women for Trump. And he had a lot of these big rallies because they could do that. The media will show you only like what they want you to know, which is why it's important for us to do our own research and not just consume the information. Imagine, you know, just think about it. You're sitting in front of a big screen with a talking head telling you what's going on for free. You know?
Yes.
Like, why wouldn't you at least do your own due diligence just for your own sake to see if what they're saying is true, you know? Whether it's by comparing two stations or just reading the newspaper or just looking at historicals, we can do that right now. It's at the tip of our fingers. Like, let's do this. That way we're not so readily manipulated and triggered and upset at each other, because right now I believe it's like the culmination of all of what our exposures to the media, and on top of that we have social media now, so that is like we're policing and triggering and upsetting at each other. And if you always have your phone on you, then you're always going to continue to be like affected by all of this, whether it's negative or positive, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. I do have some breaking news. Of course, this is off subject. We're about to have fireworks here in Florida, and now it's pouring down rain. So all the people in downtown are, you know, taking a shower right now.
Oh, man.
Just like a couple of hundred people go downtown. It's raining hard, too. Oh, well.
Oh my gosh.
That up.
Hey, did you want to talk about the Space Force?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, what is your take on that?
So,
what about the Mexican president? What do you think about that? Real quick.
A lot of people like him and voted for him. I know he's ran at least 2 to 3 times before. And I think in at least one of those times he ran, there was the votes were miscounted. I know a lot of people protested in his favor. He is considered a leftist, but Mexico is kind of socialist as it is. I know that he wants for older people to be taken care of. He wants more grants for people so that they can, like, get education. And he wants to decrease the wage, and he wants free internet for everybody. Probably so we can all be monitored, but if we're going to go that way, like, free internet. Lots of negative EMFs for you. No, I'm just kidding. I think one thing is he started out a little controversial recently, well, from what I observed, and he's like, I don't care if everybody from Mexico goes to the U.S. because North America is our birthright. or it's everybody's birthright. You could go wherever you want, and, you know, just to get back at the president. And then he's like, we're going to stop this war on drugs because the war on drugs is the U.S.'s problem, and they're not doing anything to fix it, you know? So he's just like, just so that there's going to be, like, less killings and stuff, that's understandable. But the fact of the matter is that regardless of whether Mexicans have a drug problem, it's still crime, you know. But I don't think they're going to attack it in the same fashion that they have during the previous administration. I think during the Calderon administration, there was like alone, there was like 60,000 deaths associated with the war on drugs, which is, it's the size of some small cities. So that's ridiculous. And that was as of 2011. So God only knows how much crime or deaths that there was associated then. But I think that they can definitely meet halfway. I think they can meet halfway and work something out, because ultimately I think that the president wants to do things in a way that's going to benefit everybody.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll be a positive thing for Mexico for sure, because I've been waiting for that for a long time.
Yeah, well, it looks like he's there to work with people, so we'll see what happens. At least the border and everything.
What do you think of him?
I didn't connect with him that much. Well, I think, I'm not getting a whole lot from him. I just feel he's open-minded and wants the best for his people, so not perfect. Internet for everybody, well, if they can afford it, I'm not sure if they can. You know, I think he's going to work with Trump, work with our government to make it better eventually. So it's like, hey, go here, go there, go to Honduras if you want to. You know, just live life to its fullest is what I'm gathering from him. So, I don't feel like he's a dictator like Chavez or anything like that. So, of course, Venezuela is not getting much attention either. But anyway, at least in the news.
Oh, Venezuela, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I know that they're getting Saudi Arabia to produce more oil, because apparently OPEC's getting expensive, and there's a lot of politics wrapped into that, and they're not really, I guess, producing as far as they're part of the bargain. So I guess the U.S. is just getting their resources elsewhere.
Yeah.
Well, what do you see that's going on in Venezuela? Because it's so quiet there.
I guess their money, their currency collapsed? Yeah. So they're getting a new, barter is the new currency. And Venezuela, it's not getting any attention. Of course, I don't watch the news, but I do look at the headlines, and they're not getting a whole lot of attention. So anyways, I don't know a whole lot about it. What about the Space Force? What is your take on that?
So what I think about the Space Force is, and this is just based upon some cue drops I saw, supposedly, based upon what I inferred was, it's because it said it, that JFK Jr. may still be alive because they said that he staged his death or whatever, and he was talking about how they killed JFK because he was asking about the Greys and he wanted to know why they were here, and that shortly after that they killed him. And so I think that President Trump wants to bring all that's hidden from that, whatever it's going on, and he wants to bring it to light. And once that starts coming to light, then the ETs will want to come more in mass, because I think he's going to make it so it'll be at a point where either people are used to the idea or interested in, or less or more open and less afraid. And so I think he definitely wants disclosure, and he wants to have, I guess, a relationship with the ET, so we don't have just people afraid of them or just people popping up and or beings popping up and messing things up, and or only the small select of individuals who may be nefarious connecting with these ETs and using them for, like, bad purposes that aren't good for humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's talks of, we're going into the fourth dimension, and we're going to more of a more advanced technology environment, and so they have to find ways to bring it in. As with the alien visitation or disclosure that's still up in the air, they're kind of, course, it's a holiday, so they're kind of quiet on it today. But I imagine it'll start speeding up, especially anything that's connected to the UN. Any type of meeting with the UN is also a deep state connection there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, with the Space Force, it does feel like we're going into a new world. I think there's also a website that's already dedicated from the government. I think so, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot what name it was.
And another thing, they're going to be more open about these different portals that are around the world, because, you know, they're talking about travel to Mars and things like that, or just getting, supposedly producing, producing stem cells or producing body parts or something that could, or organs in another planet like Mars, and somehow bringing it to the U.S., I mean, not the U.S., but Earth. How are you going to do that? It's supposedly Mars is 100 million light years away. You can, because it's not that far. You can just go to Babylon, and the ziggurat supposedly is a stargate to Mars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Or underground stargates, for that matter. Or, yeah, Iraq. Yeah, to put those symbols in a certain spot, and you can go anywhere you want, at least in the solar system, or the galaxy, for that matter. So, well, yeah, I mean, they talk about, you know, they laugh, you know, the mainstream media laughs about slaves being on Mars, but yet, I mean, the mainstream media is so good, you know, of course you can't prove it, but it's like, the mainstream media is so busy covering everything up. You can't really go to them for any news anyway, so might as well be slaves on Mars, and probably are. So,
yeah.
Some reason I'm compelled to bring that up.
Q said or JFK Jr. said, or whoever that was, he said, he was talking about how everybody needed to come together and nobody's better than the other and there's no room for arrogance. So, you know, when all of this information comes out, whatever is brewing behind the scenes, you know, if anybody has questions, answer them, and just get to a point, like you've been seeing, where to stop the negativity, to come together, that we are one, you know, and to just lift each other up and help each other out, because that's what we're going to need. And then he mentioned about I guess the government or whatever, or that there's information about everything about us, right? And then he said, you'd never guess or imagine where it is. And so hinting, I think, at a secret space program. So I think that's what they want to do. They want to take over the secret space program and make it less secret.
Especially with disclosure, I do feel it. The secret space program will gradually go into our, you know, existence. So everything is so quiet. Yeah, what I'm getting, at least with the UN, anytime the UN gets together, I don't know if they get together every day. I probably do. So at least a major meeting, that's when a lot of the deep state secret governments and all that alien government is. I mean, I feel the alien government stuff is happening every day. At least most days.
Yeah.
There's always something being said or back and forth going on there. So, you know, I believe we're making progress. I believe there is a disclosure energy coming in, vortex energy. We're getting closer. Now more people are ready for it. Yes, not afraid is a big thing. So, It feels like it happened any day. What I'm getting, so.
I agree too. I feel like lighter. I feel like there's a stronger, definitely a stronger energetic presence, and I feel like we're definitely, you know, at the precipice of really great things, and I haven't felt this way before. And it's funny because I think over a year ago I could care less about politics, you know. But it's like, I'm like, oh, America, and go Trump, and I love our president, and make America great again. And especially when you're studying all of this stuff about QAnon, because you look at the stuff, if you're following this stuff, it's better than watching any soap opera, first of all.
Yeah.
And you just feel like you're really involved in the political process, and that there is like light at the end of the tunnel. There is a positive end to the story, you know, and just good things are here to come. And unfortunately, not everybody knows about it. And you want to tell everybody how wonderful things are, and they're like, you're crazy. I hate Donald Trump. Shut up.
I know. It's like, don't you want just the country to prosper? I mean, whoever is president, I mean, don't you want it to work instead of calling him a Nazi every other day? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, even if you don't like
them, the same people who are calling the Nazis are the Nazis who wanted plan the takeover of our country and have us in concentration camps or the NATO camps and just everything messed up. Now he wants clean water and clean air and everything to be good and good for our farmers. And so we're not like losing money, but you know, it's just like those things are so positive, but there's this so much that we have to compete as a collective, you know, so we can just realize those things, you know?
Yeah, people don't realize they're getting manipulated through, you know, the Democratic Party. Or, I mean, even the Republican is part of that.
There's
the Bush era,
Republicans,
you know. Yeah.
They hijacked the Republicans, the Bush-Clinton dynasty.
Yeah, turn it into like a war machine, basically. I mean, I don't think there's much difference between Bush or Obama, really. It's less war with Obama, but still the same guard.
I think Obama was carrying, just putting the finishing touches on things to hand over to Hillary Clinton so she could really mess us up. You know, so I think ever since like George H.W. was the VP, even before that, because he was also involved in a lot of things to include supposedly the JFK murders, but, you know, he had his hand in just even controlling President Ronald Reagan. He was like his handler, and when the president then wanted to do good things for economy, couldn't have that, so they shot at him. You know, somebody shot at him, and that was his cue to, you know, chill out and just ride the wave and shut up in color. You know, and then you had, after Ronald Reagan, you had George H.W. Bush win it, and then we had the crack epidemic and all of these other proxy wars that were going on. And then you had Bill Clinton, which he was basically one hand was washing the other.
Yeah.
Supposedly Clinton was allowing a drug plane from South America to enter his airspace so that those drugs can then get distributed throughout the country, you know? Because if you think about it, like 40 to 50 years ago, a lot of these places that are ghettos now didn't exist. And these families were more united. You didn't have as much problems then. And then you had President Clinton with the war against gangs and the three strikes you're out. So you had a lot of people who were in prison for a long time for lesser crimes, right? So the intention seemed good. You want to go after the drugs. But, I mean, I think the worst gang is our government, which is unfortunate that they get away with so much crap. So then you had, after him, then you had George too, right? And then you see what happened there, and then you have President Obama, who was basically your hope and change, and everything's going to be fine and dandy and stuff, but he was carrying out and putting into legislation things that they were trying to push during the Bush era for a long time, right? And he was just setting the stage for another Clinton, you know? So you have the black president, you know, and everybody was just so happy, okay, we have a black president. I was so happy because of that, and I thought he was very intelligent, and I was looking forward to the things he was going to do, right? And then you have, okay, we have a woman president. When she was going to be, if you really look at her history, the worst one. And she's going to sell our country like under our feet, you know?
Oh, yeah, she's worse than Bill Clinton, I think. And Bill is not great, but she's far worse. She hasn't been fully unleashed. I mean, she has been in certain areas, but, you know, what was it, Benghazi? It's like, oh, who cares? What does that matter? Yeah, it's like, jeez, you know.
Well, the Clinton Foundation alone, where there's so much money that's been pushed into this foundation, and apparently, like, 95% of the donations were going just straight to them, and I guess paying off the very expensive wedding of their daughter and things like that to make themselves rich, and, like, 6% that actually go to the charity. And then there's this human trafficking situation that I don't even want to touch because I don't want to trigger somebody. But it's a human trafficking, pedophile, worldwide thing that, you know, the media is not even touching that's being dealt with. And the thing is, they're going after Donald Trump because Donald Trump, he knows the secret. He's been around them, but he's never been part of them. He's not the establishment guy. He hasn't been through any of those rituals. He's been inside, but on the outside. You know, he's honorable to a major degree. He's not perfect, but that's why they are going after them, because they know he knows what they're about.
Yeah. I think he's protected, too. I don't think he'll make another, you know, won't end up like Reagan or, you know, you'll get attacked. I don't see anything like that. So there's a lot of enforcement around him this time. Like when Obama won the first time, and because the financial collapse happened, and everybody thought Obama was going to save everyone. Obama was going to rebuild. He didn't do anything, really. I mean, not really. I saw that before, you know. It was pretty obvious he wasn't going to do much, but it was amazing how he really didn't do a whole lot. I mean, he just took vacations and
just kind of made small things that didn't seem like a big deal. Worse, like he signed a National Defense Authorization Act that within the verbiage, it said that you can detain American citizens indefinitely. The military can detain American citizens indefinitely without trial as terrorists. And I think the first time I heard about that was through Rachel Maddow, and she's like, kind of like, say it isn't so. And his thing was like, oh, well, you know, if it comes up, then I will, like, you know, see about the situation. But some kind of like lame kind of way to appease the situation. And then also, you know how a lot of presidents sign things when they're on their way out, when they're on their like lame duck? He basically assigned something that it looks on the surface positive to a degree. Mm-hmm. But what it was I want to say it was like kind of like an act to make sure that the media was not being manipulated, like by foreign actors. But really what that was a way to ensure or make propaganda okay, which means propaganda is you're pushing out false information, disinfo, to create an end, right? And so if you're pushing or you have you know, organizations that are within the government, especially that are focused on deterring these foreign news outlets, then people can only get the news from you. So basically they're competing against people who produce alternative news content. So you can see that's true, especially when you're looking at a lot of these YouTube channels that are bringing out like alternative information being shut down or demonetized, or their videos are completely deleted, or when they're looking at Twitter, or they're manipulating the subscribers, or on Twitter their followers disappear, or they just get deleted altogether for no reason. The same thing on Facebook. I think that they shut down a black conservative channel for, I think they were called Diamond and Silk. And I think they went before Congress to talk about how Facebook was deleted them because they were supposedly a danger to the community. And they weren't saying anything that was dangerous. So these are the things that they don't want to compete against. They want to show just one aspect of what life is, and they don't want anything to compete with the narrative, whatever their narrative is.
With the big tech companies.
Thought control, mind control.
Yeah, it's AI. A lot of it's artificial intelligence, basically, that's getting stronger, learning from us. And, you know, the founders of these big companies are helping it. You know, Microsoft is really quiet, but they are, that might as well be a deep state company altogether. I also believe they do time travel there, too, from what I can feel. Some reason they let that connect to it. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I want to do time travel, too. Consciously.
Well, they don't do it for the better of anybody, I don't think. At least for themselves. Well, like Bill Gates, you know, that's like a facade. Like, he's this nice guy, but I don't think he is.
He's like part of the depopulation agenda. And, I mean,
exactly.
Him along with the Clintons and others, they're like, have you ever seen his TED Talks? Talking about saving lives while reducing the population, and they're like, the carbon footprint is human.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is it's human, so just, jeez. And him in Africa is kind of spooky, because either they're doing some kind of DNA work to eradicate us, whatever it might be. It's, you know, out of all places, it goes to Africa. It's very, it's like a deep state, you know, pond, basically, for manipulation.
Have you ever wondered, like, for example, Haiti and Africa, all this crap? I mean, Haiti is kind of like, it's the sovereign country, right? You know, it's kind of fairly independent. And then Africa, all of this crap happens there. And then it's just like, for example, like I just feel like sometimes like part of the Illuminati just really dislikes black people. For example, this Margaret Sanger, the lady who created Planned Parenthood, you know, she was quoted as saying the best way to get rid of black people is to kill them in the womb.
Yeah.
And she's the she's the hero of the feminist movement and, you know, the pro-choice movement, or what I call the, you know, I want my right to kill my baby movement, which is going to probably sound controversial. But, you know, this is the lady who created Planned Parenthood and who's touted as like basically the messiah of the feminist movement. It's like you cannot have feminism or feminist, I'm not going to say feminism, the feminist movement without Margaret Sanger. And it's sad because it's like the top of the list. It's like the most important, one of the most important things about being a feminist is being pro-choice. You know, it's not all of these other things. There are equal rights is there. Women's to get ahead is there and things like that, but it always seems like if you're listening to them, that's the top. That's the most important thing. Like, somebody was quoted as saying, like, oh my God, President Trump is going to be president. Ladies, hurry up and get your abortions because we're effed.
Yeah. Well, also, with Africa, to go back to that, and Haiti, mm-hmm. Well, what I saw was that a lot of those nations were defeating the Illuminati and stopping them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they found chemical warfare, different ways of slowing them down. And, so I believe they, throughout, thousands of years, they caused, a problem. That's why they don't like black people, I think. It's one of the reasons.
Oh, I knew it had to be something like that. I'm like, what is it? Why did they go after these groups hardcore?
Well, some of their genetics are a little bit more superior than others. They must have some kind of genetic material that the elites can use, from what I gather. So, I think some of, like look at a lot of the blacks are in, are athletes, and they're very good at it. And I would say they're kind of sort of like a super soldier in some way. Some of them are. Not fully, but they have a higher.
We're allowed to.
Yeah. There's something there in their genetics where they are physically superior than others. In some kind of athletic, they're running or whatever it might be. So.
And then also, I think the way they're able to teach as well, because I think that if you allow, for example, this is in many groups, but if you just left black people alone, wherever it is, from Africa, whatever, that they could produce so much greatness. You could use the Nubian empires or Egypt as an example.
Yes.
And I think that there has been a lot of cover-ups, too, as far as our history as it relates to black people. Like, I think of, the Age of Enlightenment and the Dark Ages, where we're taught, oh, nothing good happened. It was just religion and there was nothing good. And then you have the Age of Enlightenment. Sometimes I think that has to do with, them covering up maybe, positive things that, black people produce or Africans produce during that time.
Yeah.
And then, the Age of Enlightenment was also just kind of putting a white face to a lot of the things that were produced by black people. Like, for example, if you look at a lot of I'm not going to say hieroglyphics, but look at the Sphinx, if you look at some other Egyptian architecture, the nose is cut off. And in the Bible, it says to the Hebrew people that they're going to cut off their nose or something like that. And something tells me that was even manipulated too. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you have a lot of, if you look at a lot of art from that era, from like Morocco, not Morocco, but Italy and things like that, a lot of the art, like the faces look like if it was shaded a little bit darker, that they were black. And then also we're not told that there were English tutors, or there was black people, whatever their descent was, from in British royalty, because I guess they helped during the Spanish Armada as well, and they assisted our. This history is just manipulated. It's I could go on forever. I just kind of got to the point where everything is a lie.
Very much. Yeah, it's just.
You just gotta figure out the truth on your own.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the those in Africa, a lot of Syrian, Palladian, probably other species, but we'll stick to those. And they came here with magic. I mean, of course, a lot of them are human, they incarnated, and they connected to a lot of high vibrational magic. And of course, now it's all been kind of suppressed. Like, you know, so like Africa is suppressed, basically, and Haiti is suppressed. Like, Haiti has voodoo. I don't believe all voodoo is bad. There's probably a lot of positives to it, probably mostly positive. So, I mean, we're technically all. I mean, technically, the way the elites operate, they have voodoo dolls on all of us, pretty much. So,
yeah, they're poking us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they just keep everything.
But the voodoo is. They represent. I think the Haitians call it voodoo, but there's very many names for it.
Yeah.
But the religion is called Yoruba, and it's part. I think it's from. I want to say Kenya. Is where it came from, because that's where they brought the slaves who brought that religion here, and they took those to the Caribbean, and they took those to South America, and then also parts of the U.S., like Louisiana, and what that is like spiritualism, and supposedly it's kind of like Zen Buddhism, in a way where they also believe in different dimensions and metaphysics and just interact. See what we're trying to do is just kind of connect to that spiritual aspect of ourselves, but you know, it's kind of like one of those other things that, you know, they don't want us to know about, just showing you how to connect with what all that is, and they don't want us to know all that is, so they just kind of cast it in a negative light of fear.
Well, yeah, those in Africa, I mean, they're known as, well, not everyone, but they're known as builders. And a lot of that technology, whatever they were building, whatever they were creating, was probably destroyed. And so their society was, you know, suppressed. So you can say their technology was beyond the elites in some shape or form, and then they took over it. So, like, Sudan is a heavy area. See, Darfur also, or however you pronounce it, but Sudan seems to play as a hot spot. Where they're taking over, so at least what I'm gathering from that. So. Who knows?
What about the dinosaurs?
I think there's a lot of energies of them being there. Yeah, somewhere. They're there somewhere. It was in another dimension. Of course, I got stories of somebody that lived in, was it South America, that they actually saw reptilians there. They just called them demons. Of course, how many, depends on where you are, how many of them have the internet to tell. I mean, if you're in a poor town, there's not much you can do about that. There's not many people you can tell, you know, outside of where you live. So, yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people will, like, for example, Mexico or whatever, they will report, like, these sightings and tell each other and things like that, but I think there's some openness to it, but at the same time, there's a disconnect, obviously, because they're, like, thinking it's a little too crazy.
All right.
Can I ask you?
Go ahead. Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
The Irish people, what happened with them? And because I know that there's also a lot of kind of hidden knowledge around them as well. Do you know about them?
One moment. When you're talking about it, I felt a lot of course, the fireworks are going off. I don't know if you hear that. A lot of energies came from Mexico. Well, I'm seeing Aztec energies connecting to the Irish in the past, at least. So a lot of them wandered around, you could say. But the Irish are, it feels like a Palladian energy there, from what I'm picking up on. Arcturian. one to get a magic energy. I mean, everyone's a descendant of Atlantis in some shape or form. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see, the Aztec beings weren't really called Aztec beings, or either way, there was advanced technology. A lot of it went primitive in that area of the world, you can say. So I'm not sure if there's a lot of, there's castles in Ireland, right? There's a lot of ancient, of course, the Romans, but they're Ireland, I would assume. So, yeah, it's, well, you say Rome was a way of bringing in the old world as like the manipulating world, basically. It's like, get rid of all the alien stuff, and we're just going to conquer and destroy everything. We're going to put Rome on every, you know, all roads lead to Rome. So that was a basically a, you could say, a black ops situation there, when you think about it. So what was the Earth's vibration? So I believe Ireland was a target for that. But yeah, at one time it was very a superior energy there. Yeah, very. I see rocks flying. You know, you can pick up with telekinesis. A lot of telekinesis energies there at one time. At least a lot of Lemurian energies there, or similar to that. Yeah, a lot of fish people there. Yeah, so that's a lot of. It's Celtic there, isn't it? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah, very Celtic, yeah. So it's the old world. I mean, a lot of the Druids had a big influence on it, as the old Atlanteans. It just became more secretive. So they stayed alive. They just had to form their own groups and go hide, basically, as the Romans and the New World came in. So you can say, well, isn't this, I mean, anyone with any spiritual abilities was pretty much hunted down, pretty much, in the past. Not all of them, but at one time, yeah, there were targets. And so there are World War II. Anyone says a psychic, you know, we're just, you know, putting a concentration camp or whatever it might be. So,
or
the
people who, when the original 13 colonies were here, they had the witch hunts, too.
Exactly. Yeah, same thing. So it's been going on forever. So anybody with Atlantean or Lemurian, you know, magic, basically, we're going to hunt you down. So it's like, it's, you know, of course, now we're allowed to talk about this, which I'm really surprised by, but I'm glad. You know, because the way censorship is, there, I mean, that tells you the positive is working. You know, shows like this can exist. They can exist on YouTube. So we are definitely going in a new direction. But yeah, those that don't believe in all of this are laughing, and they don't realize that people like us would be hunted down and killed, pretty much. So it's like, who's laughing now? It's like, I mean, you know, I mean, if we're the ones going to get killed, it's like, at least we kill for what we believe in. You guys are going to be part of the Matrix and be programmed and have fun with that. You know what I mean? So, of course, they're not living in that, thank goodness, but if the table was turned, yeah, we'd be targets on us right now. So that's just coming, that the thinking of the world needs to shift, basically. So, all right, probably going to wrap this up. Any last, anything else you want to put out there?
Well, I just want to say, everybody, thank you for listening, and Ivan, thanks for having me on the show so I can rant. I apologize if I get a little loud sometimes.
Oh, great.
And
no, it's very good.
You guys come back and listen to Ivan for more interesting things.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. All right. All right, I'm going to do a lead out. So, thank you. All right, thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. Or thank you, mystery guests, for calling in, I should say. And the other caller that called in earlier. Some calls came in, but we were in discussion. So that was that segment I'm calling The Theory of Everything. Of course, I didn't say it at the beginning, but that's I might have a voiceover eventually. So that's basically what a guest comes in to say what's on their mind. On Saturday, also at 7 o'clock Eastern, we'll have our next show. We'll have a special guest also. and Joyce Keller will be on the show. Not sure how long we're going to go for, hour and a half. But it is true, though. You know, I'm connected to spirit while I'm talking. But, yes, we're talking about alien spirits. And, in the past, there was a target on our backs. And many of us have had incarnations in the past and talked about this, and our lives were cut very short. So now we are bringing this stuff up again, and we are staying alive. But now we're just mocked by your modern society that's under major mind control, reptilian manipulations, whatever it might be, archon manipulations, you name it, it's there. And so it's basically to open up your mind and not be afraid. So, all right, happy 4th of July, everyone. We'll be back on YouTube about an hour and a half or hour. Well, we'll see how it goes. So much love, everyone. And, yeah, you can find me at ivantoller.com. Here's the outro. All right, blessings, everyone. Have a great night.